Blog Talk Radio.
And we are live on Fan for Racing NASCAR Weekend Preview. This is Thursday night, June the 15th, and we have four races to preview for everyone tonight, including the ARCA Racing Series, which will be racing tomorrow night. We have the Camping World Truck Series and the Xfinity Series on Saturday, with the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series racing on Sunday. Joining me for our previews tonight is our co-host, Jay M.J. Huseman. Welcome to the show, Jay.
Thank you, Sharon. How are you doing tonight?
Doing well. Hanging in there. We've got a lot of previewing to do tonight, and if time allows, we'll also talk about some of the hot topics in NASCAR at the end of tonight's show. So, Jay, I thought we would go ahead and get started with the ARCA Racing Series. They are racing the Corrigan 200, I believe it is. Yeah, the Corrigan Oil 200 on Friday, June the 16th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. They are racing at Michigan International Speedway, and they've already had some practice sessions for that race. And Vinny Miller led the practice today in the number 41 car, and followed by Brandon Jones in second, Spencer Davis in third, Sheldon fourth, and last week's race winner, Riley Herbst, finished in fifth place.
That's right, and you also got Zane Smith in the 55 for Renterini and Chad Finley in the 51 Auto Value Airlift Company right there in 7th, Kyle Weatherman in 8th, Ty Majeski in 9th, and Austin Terrio in 10th. So it's looking like a pretty good mix there.
It really does. It's good to see Kyle Weatherman back in the ARCA Racing Series and in the number 78 for Mason Mitchell Motorsports. A lot of great drivers up there in the top 10. And who are the drivers you think are the drivers to watch this weekend in this Corrigan Oil 200?
Well, you got to start with on the practice chart there, Brandon Jones in the number 8 Chevy. He was so dominant. I know he got beat, but he was dominant last week, and I think he's going to be a tough one. You're going to have to contend with him again this week.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think Brandon Jones is going to be a tough competitor. He's in the number 8 car this weekend. Another driver I think we should keep our eye on is Spencer Davis in that number 25 for Venturini Motorsports. Venturini is always a team to beat when it comes to the ARCA Racing Series. So keep your eye on Spencer Davis this weekend as well. And let's not forget, I mentioned Kyle Weatherman. He's always a contender, and I think Michigan is a track well suited to him.
What's surprising to me is, again, just looking at the speed chart there, your top two in points. Austin Terrio is 10th, but then you go to second and third. Dalton Sargeant, it was 18th on the speed charts. And I thought Shane Lee was in third, but with Riley Herbst's win, he actually moved into third. Fourth place, Shane Lee is in 16th on the speed chart for practice. So that was kind of surprising to me to see those two back there. So the point standings could take a shuffle this weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out during the race. There's a number of reasons that could have happened, but definitely I would not count Dalton Sargeant out at this stage of the game. I think when that race begins, Dalton Sargent's going to be a contender.
Well, and he's been moving up with the exception of the week where Austin Terrio won. He's been trying to close that points gap. It's 17:50 to 16:15 now. So, yeah, it could get real tight. And, again, with Riley Herbst winning, he moved up, too, as well. Like I said, he jumped over Shane Lee, so.
Yes. In fact, he really improved his point standing. Riley Herbst is now third in the series point standings behind Austin Theriault and Dalton Sargeant. And in fourth and fifth place are Shane Lee and Gus Dean. So I guess you can't count them out either when it comes to this, because both of them are great drivers. But I'm really impressed with Vinny Miller leading that practice session. So I think he might be another one to keep your eye on this weekend.
Yeah, there's definitely a couple up there that are going to mix it up with him. The other one would be in the 55 for Venturini Motorsports is Zane Smith. I know we've had him on the show before.
Yeah.
You've done the show with him on Mondays. And he's only got the 5 starts compared to everybody else having 7 there. And he's there in 7th in points. So he can obviously hold his own.
I would say so. I think you're right. And same thing with Riley Herbst. You know, most of these drivers in the top 10 have raced all 7 races this season. But Riley Herbst is up there in 3rd place on 6 races this season. And I think that's pretty impressive for both Riley and Zane to be competing on a part-time schedule or with fewer races. They're right up there in the mix. I think that's pretty fantastic. Another driver that you may want to keep your eye on, he didn't show up too much in the practice session, but I would not count him out, is Michael Self. I think he could be another driver to keep your eye on. His practice session doesn't show that, but he finished 3rd last weekend, and it would not surprise me if we don't see Michael Self with a good finish in this race as well.
Definitely not. I know he's making limited starts, but he definitely makes the most of them when he does show up.
Absolutely. Any other drivers you think we should take a look at? I know there's some hometown guys here. Jeffrey Maxink, it will be driving the number 65 car this weekend. He's from Brownstown, Michigan. And let me see, that from Shelby Township, Michigan, is Brad Smith. He'll be racing in the number 48 car. From Jackson, Michigan, is Morgan Baird. He'll be driving the number 10 this weekend. And let's see if I see any other Michigan drivers. St. John's, Michigan, yes. I'd say he might be another driver to keep your eye on. Chad Finley already has a win this season. He's going to be racing at his hometown track in that number 51 car. So keep your eye on Chad Finley this weekend as well. And from Ortonville, Michigan, and he's at the top of the speed charts for the practice session, is Vinny Miller in that number 41 car. And we've already mentioned he's a driver to watch, again, driving in front of a hometown crowd there, a home state track at Michigan International Speedway.
And as you mentioned there, Chad Finley, again, he's only had 2 starts so far this year, both of them being top 5,
mm-hmm.
one of them being the win at Nashville. So he's another one that only starts a few races, but when he does, he's a contender.
Absolutely. So definitely can't take your eyes off of those drivers as well. As far as a few of the details here, it will be a 200-mile race, and there will be live coverage on Fox Sports 1 starting at 6 p.m. Eastern time. And then, of course, ArcaRacing.com always has the live timing and scoring over on their race website. And there's always a great chat room that's available for fans that are watching the race as well. So definitely keep your eyes on that. Also keep in mind, there is going to be some, we've already had the 1 practice session. Just to give you an idea of what's going to go on tomorrow, There's going to be some qualifying that will be taking place tomorrow afternoon. The general tire poll qualifying should take place sometime around 1:30, 1:40 in the afternoon. So keep your eyes over at ArcaRacing.com for what's going to happen with regard to that qualifying. And then driver introductions begin at 5:30 p.m. And then, of course, the start of the race, it will be 200 miles, 100 laps, and that will start at 6 p.m. Eastern time at Michigan International Speedway. If you're out there in that Michigan area, see if you can't get out there to the track, because you will not be disappointed with some great racing in this ARCA Racing Series.
And that's one of those, if you're there and you can get there, you can see all three, because three of the top series are running there. So it's definitely a weekend to go out there.
Exactly. Definitely a weekend. You're going to get your biggest bang for your buck with three races out there at Michigan. And you know what, MJ, one of the things I always hear about Michigan International Speedway, I haven't heard a fan yet say they've been disappointed with their experience at that track. Everybody who has been there loves that track. If you don't have it on your bucket list yet, it's one of those tracks that you need to put on your bucket list as a race fan.
I myself crossed that one off, I think it was 2 years ago, family and I traveled out there, and it's definitely worth the trip. I think ours was, took us about 12 hours, and we enjoyed it.
Okay. Get out there to the track and enjoy the racing firsthand. Let's go ahead and talk a little bit here about who are your top three drivers, you think, the top three finishers this weekend. I'm going to do it a little bit different this week.
I was going to say, I get to pick three this week? That's nice.
you get to pick three this week.
with this group, again, the way it is, right off the top, like I said, the way he's run in the starts he's had, and I really think he might be the winner, is Brandon Jones.
Okay.
The second one I'd have to go with, based on, again, last week's win, the improvement he's shown, it'd be Riley Herbst. And then, you know, week to week, I'm a Dalton Sargeant fan, so even though his practice time was towards the middle there, like you said, I think come race time, he'll figure out what he needs to do and work his way through. So those would be my three.
Okay, I think Dalton Sargeant is a great pick. I like all of your picks there, but I'm going to try to go for some different ones. You made it tough on me because you picked some good ones with Riley Herbst and Zane Smith and Dalton Sargeant. I'm going to go with the home track guy, Vinnie Miller, who's led the point standings. I think he might be due for a win. Brandon Jones is also a good pick. I'm sorry. I think he may be due for a big win. And based on his performance today in practice, I think he could be a good pick in the number 41 car. Another Michigan driver, Chad Finley, I think you need to keep your eye on him this weekend. And I'm going to go with the Venturini Motorsports number 25, Spencer Davis. I think is going to be another driver to keep your eye on. There's so many drivers I would like to pick. Kyle Weatherman, Ty Majeski,
yep.
Austin Terrio. I think there's so many drivers that could be in our top three. I don't mean to leave anybody out, but we've got to pick just three. And to be a little bit different here, we've tossed out six names. So, but there are a lot of other drivers that could just as well be up there in the top three when this is all said and done on Friday night.
I was going to say, between the two of us, we picked six, and I'm not even 100% sure then we still got the winner in those six.
Yeah, wouldn't that be something? And you're right. There's so many great drivers right now in this series. And Michigan is a very fast track. A lot of things can happen at Michigan. And It's going to be fun. Now, one of the things that Sal and I have been talking about on Monday night is that this ARCA Racing Series is a great breeding ground for those drivers that are moving up into NASCAR's top three. They do such a great job of prepping these guys that are racing in this series so that, you know, with sponsorship, that's always the biggest nut to crack. But with sponsorship, that they're ready to move up to that next level. And I think this is, I think the ARCA Racing Series has really proven themselves to be a great breeding ground for a lot of these drivers.
Well, clearly, I mean, you look at a couple of the ones that we've got, you know, most recently Chase Briscoe that moved into the trucks. You know, that's where he made his name.
And Grant Hinfinger is in that category as well. Because he's a former champion in the ARCA Racing Series and doing very well in that Camping World Truck Series as well. Let's move on to the Can-Am Pro Series here. We've had some great results in the Can-Am West. Last week, as we predicted, we saw Chris Eggleston go back-to-back with a win at Colorado National. And think about this. They're halfway through their season with seven races in, seven races to go. And there's only been two winners this season, and that's Chris Eggleston, who won the season opener, and the last two races. In between that, Todd Gilliland has won four consecutive races. The same thing is true when you look at who's taken the pole. Todd Gilliland has five consecutive poles in this Can-Am West. Chris Eggleston has two consecutive poles with two consecutive wins. It's just been that Bill McAnally Racing team and especially this duo have been just remarkable this season out there in the Can-Am West.
And that's right. Todd Gilliland does have the points lead. It was narrowed a little bit. It's 316 to 309 there now. 7-point difference. And as you said, of the seven races so far, Eggleston has managed seven top fives. Gilliland has six top fives. But still, both of them have all top tens. That's just phenomenal.
It really, really is. I can't wait for the next race in this Can-Am West series to see if Chris Eggleston and Todd Gilliland can kind of keep this going or if we're going to see a new winner emerge in this eighth race of their season. They are racing at a different racetrack. It's not going to be all left turns. They are going to be going left and right at Sonoma Raceway on June 24th in the Carneros 200. So mark your calendars for that. You'll be able to follow along on Race Central at NASCAR's home track website. And they do a great job over there. It's powered by Speed 51. They do a great job of keeping fans up to date with everything that's happening at the track. And then, of course, there's always the NBCSN replay, or not replay, but airing of that race. I watched, did you get a chance to watch the race at Colorado National tonight?
I have not. I thought it was supposed to be on tonight, and I noticed it wasn't on. I couldn't record it.
Oh, it was
on
early.
Is it on Friday this week?
I watched it. I know. I think it was on tonight. I actually did watch it, and it was a really good race. And we had Chris on the show on Monday night. And I'll tell you a little secret there. Chris said that road course racing is not necessarily one of his best tracks. I think he's definitely looking forward to Iowa Speedway. But he said he's got some brushing up to do when it comes to road course racing at Sonoma. So I think, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens, because another thing that sometimes happens is that if the Cup guys or the Xfinity Series guys are out there at Sonoma, then they tend to like to jump into this race. Drivers like Chase Elliott, who won that race last season. So that could kind of factor into this as well. but definitely a race to stay tuned to.
Well, you're on top of things because I was going to bring that up. I know for already Kevin Harvick and Daniel Suarez are two that I saw announced that will be racing in that race. Like you said, Chase Elliott has done it in the past. And then you also get a couple of teams that maybe bring in a more seasoned road race veteran, ringer, if you will. So it'll be interesting to see when the entry list comes out of who's all in it. But I do know that Kevin Harvick and Daniel Suarez are listed already.
Yeah, that's pretty cool to see Kevin Harvick racing in this Can-Am Pro Series race. And he's a California native, so this will be fun for Kevin Harvick. Let's go ahead and move on now to the Can-Am East before we run out of time. This has been kind of an interesting series as well. Harrison Burton is showing a little bit of dominance in this race. He's leading the series point standings. He has one pole in the season opener at New Smyrna. He's won the last two races at South Boston and at Memphis, but he also won at Bristol Motor Speedway. So he has three wins in this series, and that's why he's leading the series point standings. So there's a little bit of domination taking place there with him. Some other drivers that are showing some good results. Chase Cabre has taken the pole twice at both South Boston races. Chase Purdy is another driver to keep your eye on in this series. And Ronnie Bassett Jr., who started out so well at the beginning of the season, is looking to try to make his way back up in that series point standings. So right now, the point standings in the Can-Am East. We mentioned that Harrison Burton is leading at 262 points. But if we look, Todd Gilliland is in second at 234, so there's a little bit of a gap there. But from there, it's pretty tight, right, Jay?
Yep, you got in third, you got Hunter Bayes at 216, Ruben Garcia at 212, tied with Chase Purdy at 212. Ronnie Bassett Jr., as you mentioned, at 210, Chase Cabre at 209, and that's third through seventh that are all within 7 points.
Yes, that's pretty amazing. That's a tight point battle that's taking place right there, and you've got a couple in that group, Chase Purdy, who I mentioned is one of the drivers to keep your eye on, and Chase Cabre are both rookies. In those list of drivers, and they are right there in the mix with some of these other guys that have been racing in that series. Now, next up for the Can-Am East is going to be, now they have 13 races with 6 races in, so I guess halfway through this next week, this next race, they will be halfway through their season. July 1st for the Stars and Stripes 150 at Berlin Speedway is the next race for this Can-Am Pro Series East. And on the entry list, they actually don't have it yet. They'll have it posted
over at home
track.
Yeah, it said it wouldn't be posted until the end of June.
Yeah, next Monday on the 26th, they'll be able to get that posted for everybody. So that you can see who's on the entry list in that Can-Am East race for July 1st. But I'll tell you what, again, I think both of these series have a lot of fun things to watch with what's going on in both series. Other winners, I think we mentioned Kyle Benjamin, but also another winner winning one of the South Boston races when they had the twin races there is Travis Miller. You never know. He could be one of those drivers to watch as these races come up. But the race I'm looking forward to the most, and it's on both of their schedules, the West and the East. I love this race. The Casey's General Store 150 at Iowa Speedway is something I look forward to all year long. So definitely looking forward to see who gets bragging rights coming out of that event. That's taking place on July the 28th, so make sure you mark your calendars for this race.
Well, and I got to tell you, having gone to the East Series race there in Memphis and meeting all these guys, I know they're referring to the one at 25 years old as the old man, because there's a lot of these that are 16, 17, and 18 years old. But they are the show, and they handled themselves so well, so professionally. You know, they met with the fans, they did autograph sessions, they did TV interviews. Just how they handled themselves is absolutely amazing. And then put on the race they did again as well was truly...
I know. Sal and I have always talked about that too, MJ, because we're always impressed with these young kids that are coming on the show, and they present themselves in such a professional manner. They hit on all the right points, and, you know, a lot of these drivers are NASCAR Next drivers that have been identified by NASCAR as future stars in the sport, and they put them through some media training, and it's not just about the driving. It's being able to keep sponsors happy. It's being able to interact with the media and being able to interact with fans. And these young guys that are coming up through the ranks are doing a heck of a job in all of those categories. So kudos, I think, for this NASCAR Next program. I think NASCAR's been doing that if not 10 years, it's pretty close to 10 years. And I've seen some great results from what they're doing with that program. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, there's definitely some future stars there. Obviously, we've talked about Harrison Burton. He's made some starts in the ARCA and trucks. Todd Gilliland is running in the trucks this weekend. We'll talk about that when we get to them. You know, so they're moving their way up. And, I mean, they're already – again, at that stage, prepared for that, you know, it's just unbelievable.
I know.
Like I said, how they handled themselves. I was really impressed.
Yeah, and it's even more impressive when you do see it, you know, up close and personal at the racetrack. So, you know, these guys handle themselves extremely well. Definitely looking forward to these next races. July 1st seems like it's a long way away, but trust me, it's not. Just make sure you mark your calendar for that Berlin Raceway Stars and Stripes 150. And again, if you're out in that Sonoma area, or you're going to be out in that area, if you're out at Berlin Raceway, anywhere near there, get yourselves out to the racetrack and watch these guys race. Trust me, you're not going to regret it. It's a lot of fun watching these guys race, and the tracks always do a great job of promoting those races, as you know, Michael or MJ.
Yeah, I talked with some of the execs there at Memphis and some of the people, and you know, they're trying to get Memphis. They haven't raced there since 2009, if I'm not mistaken. And this one, mm-hmm. with what they had and how they represented, I know they're talking about trying to bring the trucks back in there. Hopefully this will lead to some other things and a return by the K&N Pro Series East, because, I mean, they definitely put on a show. So not just returning from them, but possibly bringing in some other things as well. And, again, like I said, with how they represented, I don't see how they could not.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's been pretty fantastic what they're doing all the way around here. Okay, I think it's time for us to kind of move into our next race to preview. And actually, I'm going to start with the Xfinity Series, and that's because they actually race before the Camping World Truck Series on Saturday. So it's a little bit different order than we might normally do. But again, the schedule is a little bit jumbled up from what it normally is as well. Now, the Xfinity Series is racing this Saturday, June the 17th. They're racing at Michigan International Speedway in the Irish Hills 250. The race starts at about 1:30 p.m. Eastern time, but you're going to be able to find coverage on Fox Sports 1, MRN, and SiriusXM NASCAR Radio starting at 1 p.m. Eastern time. They will be racing 125 laps, covering 250 miles. The stages are in 30-lap increments for Stage 1 and 2. So Stage 1 will end on lap 30, Stage 2 on lap 60, and that last stage will end on the last lap, 125. So definitely make sure you tune in for this Xfinity Series race. I just think the stage racing this season has made the Xfinity Series so much more fun to watch. And, you know, of the three series, the Xfinity Series, I'm going to kind of admit something that I probably wouldn't normally admit here, but the Xfinity Series hasn't always been my favorite series to watch in the last, I'd say, 2 to 3 years. But this year... it's quickly becoming one of my favorites. Well, all of them have been my favorites with this stage racing, MJ.
Yeah, it's definitely been a game changer. You know, the trucks kind of had it anyway. I mean, when they first started, they had their caution or halfway break. They went away from that, and then they had brought in the caution clock last year, and that wasn't quite what they wanted to do, and they tweaked it, and the stage racing went across the board. It's definitely been a game changer. And I think a huge factor has been limiting the number of cup drivers in it. They haven't taken it away completely, and I don't know that they need to or want to, because, again, these young drivers say that's how they learn, is competing against these top guys. But I think limiting it has been a good step in controlling it.
I think that's a good point. And we still see some cup drivers racing, and we'll have that, especially with the Xfinity and Cup Series racing together out there at Michigan this weekend. There will still be some Monster Energy guys racing this weekend. In fact, Paul Menard, Ty Dillon, Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin, and Brad Keselowski are all racing in this Xfinity Series race this weekend. Some of the milestones that are happening this weekend, Joe Gibbs Racing has 4 wins out at Michigan International Speedway. They have a chance to tie with Roush Fenway Racing if they win on Saturday with 5 wins each. So, and that's as far as car owners. Kyle Busch can break the 7-driver tie. That's amazing. All 7 drivers have 2 wins each in this Xfinity Series. So he has a chance to break that tie there at Michigan with a victory this weekend, becoming the only leader in wins at Michigan International Speedway. So that's another milestone to kind of keep your eye on out at Michigan this weekend.
Now, who'd have thought Kyle had to share a record with number of wins at a track, huh?
Yeah, isn't that amazing? And 7 people are tied at 2 is just amazing in and of itself.
Well, and they run there once a year. The series has hosted 25 races at Michigan International Speedway. It's the only track that's competed on, that the NASCAR competes on in the state of Michigan. And there's been 22 different Xfinity Series Coors Light pole winners, led by Austin Dillon with 2, and then 21 different winners each have 1. And the 25 series races at Michigan have produced 18 different winners, as you said, led by a 7-way tie between Carl Edwards, Todd Bodine, Kyle Busch, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Ryan Newman, Brad Keselowski, and Mark Martin, all of which have the 2.
The 2 wins. And you know, keep your eye on Kyle Busch. You know how he loves to break those types of records. Any record for that
matter. That's what I said. That's why I said it's pretty amazing that he's having to hold that as a tie.
It really is. Now, there's a couple of crew chiefs in this Xfinity series that are really making their mark in this series. JR Motorsports has both of them with Jason Burdette and Kevin Mendering. They're a couple of the best in the garage this season in the Xfinity series. Both of these crew chiefs have their teams just 1 point from each other in the series point standings after 12 starts this season. The next nearest competitor after those top two are 62 points back. So we're talking about Elliott Sadler's team and Justin Allgaier's team. Those guys are it's going to be interesting to see which one of those guys will be on top after this race out here in Michigan. So can they keep them up there is the big deal. Burdette began as a crew chief at JR Motorsports in 2015, working with Regan Smith and Justin Allgaier over the last three seasons. Burdette actually led Justin Allgaier and his team to the point standings lead on the strength of four top fives and six top tens this season. Again, he's got the 1 point advantage over his teammate Elliott Sadler. So it's going to be interesting. Kevin Mendering joins JR Motorsports or Junior Motorsports and the number one team with Elliott Sadler last season. He's led that team to three wins and a runner-up finish in the final series standings. This season, this same duo are doing much the same until this last weekend. Now, last weekend, it wasn't necessarily their best weekend, but up to this point, they had the series point standings for 10 consecutive races going back to Atlanta, the second race of the season. So they're not going to like the fact that they lost that points lead. They're going to be going back after it, I think, this weekend at Michigan. And I'm sure this is a competition, not just between the drivers, but between these crew chiefs as well, to put their team up there at the top of the point standings.
Well, and that shouldn't come as a surprise. I mean, those two were two of the four that were in the championship hunt at the end of the last year at Homestead. They were two of the final four at Homestead, so that shouldn't be all that surprising that they're up there.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's going to be fun to see them kind of do the back and forth thing. As you know, whoever is in the top of the series point standings at the end of their regular season has a chance to get those extra playoff points going into the Xfinity Series playoffs. So definitely those drivers are well aware of that and are competing for those extra playoff points by leading the point standings.
Now, what we got to look at, though, is over the last seven races at Michigan, there's been seven different winners dating back to the 2010 event. The past seven winners being Daniel Suarez in 2016, Kyle Busch in 2015, Paul Menard in 14, Regan Smith in 2013, Joey Logano in 2012, Carl Edwards in 2011, and Brad Keselowski in 2010. Says Kyle Busch has two wins, Brad Keselowski two, Daniel Suarez one, Paul Menard one, and Denny Hamlin one win are the former winners that are entered this weekend, with only two drivers in series history recording their first career series win at Michigan, which was Daniel Suarez last year in 2016, and Ryan Newman back as far as 2000. So that'll be an interesting thing to watch.
It will be, and I believe the defending winner of this race, if I remember correctly, is Daniel Suarez.
Yep, because that was his first win when he beat out Kyle Busch.
That's right, that's right. So Daniel Suarez will definitely be trying to do everything he can to go back-to-back this weekend. But another driver is from Richard Childress Racing, Brendan Gaughan. At one point this season, he dropped down to 17th in the series point standings. But if you look at some of these last few races, it looks like he's turned that ship around. And Gaughan is coming off of his third straight, his third top 10 of the season after finishing sixth last weekend at Pocono Raceway. That finish moved him up to 13th in the series driver standings. He's now 28 points behind the last playoff transfer spot, which is 12th. And right now holding that spot is Dakota Armstrong. So Brendan Gaughan is going after it. You can expect him to have a good race this weekend. At this time of the year, last year, is exactly when Brendan Gaughan started to hit his stride. Heading into Michigan with 14 races until the 2016 playoffs, Gaughan rallied off 7 top 10s and made that cut for the postseason playoffs. So look for him. It's very possible he could do the same this year. He's made 5 series starts at Michigan, posting an average finish of 22.6. He finished 18th last year, so he's going to have his work cut out for him in order to catch Dakota Armstrong at Michigan, because he has an average finish of 19.6 in just 3 starts at Michigan. So that's another thing for fans to keep their eye on as they're watching these races, is who's in and who's out in that playoff bubble and that 12th place cutoff for who gets to race the playoffs this season.
And he's one of those that, as you saw, as the weather heats up, he seems to. So we talked about Kyle Busch. Yeah, I'd forgotten how impressive that was, how far back he was for to pull back within that cutoff from last year. We were talking about Kyle Busch.
Don't count him out yet.
Oh, absolutely not. I'm talking about Kyle Busch looking to make the individual wins, break that individual wins record that he's tied with. He's looking to make it for 3 in a row for Joe Gibbs Racing. He is the winningest driver in series history with 87 wins, but he'll be looking to bring the checkered flag for Joe Gibbs Racing, which he did in 2015, and then last season series champion Daniel Suarez backed it up and gave Joe Gibbs Racing their win in 2016. So as a team, they could go for 3 in a row here, which Kyle Busch is one of them that's looking to do that. They currently have 4 Xfinity Series wins at Michigan, second, as we mentioned, only to Roush Racing's 5, so as a team, they could break that tie. Joe Gibbs is looking to tie that up. Now, Busch hasn't competed in the Xfinity race since Auto Club Speedway in March earlier in the year, but he's not one that time off isn't going to affect him. He's made 9 starts at Michigan, posting 1 pole in 2014, 2 wins in 2004 and 2015, 8 top fives, and an impressive average of 3.9. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, that's tough to beat when your average finish is 3.9. Joe Gibbs will also have this year Sunoco Rookie of the Year contender Matt Tift in the number 19. Tift is 8th in points following the Pocono race, 125 points back from the series lead. This will be his track debut at Michigan. And then they'll also have Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series regular Denny Hamlin in the number 20. So they got 3 solid drivers. Denny Hamlin has made 5 previous starts at Michigan with 1 win in 2007, 4 top 10s and an average finish of 11.4. So they got 3 solid drivers that are looking to break that tie.
Yeah, definitely. And Joe Gibbs Racing may have had a slow start in the Camping World Trucks, I'm sorry, in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. But that's exactly why these guys are so good in the Xfinity series as well. The time that they spend in the Xfinity series is going to help them get back on track, I believe, in that Monster Energy Cup series. So these guys, this is kind of a driver development thing where you've got the new guys from like Matt Tift in Joe Gibbs Racing, racing right along with the veterans and learning from them. It's a great development program I think they've got going on there at Joe Gibbs Racing. Now, we mentioned this earlier, and it's hard to miss the fact that there's two teams in the junior motorsports that are just 1 point away from one another. Sadler held that top spot for 10 consecutive races. As I mentioned earlier, it goes all the way back to Atlanta, the second race of the season, where he's been leading the point standings. But Allgaier and his crew chief, Jason Burdette, have put their number seven team up into the lead now. I'll tell you what, if recent history is any kind of indication, increasing the number seven's lead at Michigan is certainly doable. Over the past three seasons, the series leader has increased their lead on average by 9 points in this Michigan race. In 2016, the leader, Daniel Suarez, increased his lead by 7 points. And in 2015, points leader Chris Buescher increased his lead by 10 points at MIS. And in 2014, the leader at that point, Regan Smith, increased his lead by 10 points at Michigan International Speedway. So right now, with Allgaier just at 1 point ahead, if he does well here this weekend, he has a chance to make it a little more of a gap there. Although history might be on Allgaier's side, I'm not expecting Sadler to just lay down at Michigan International Speedway. He's a veteran in the sport, and he is certainly on a title run this season based on his consistency. In 12 starts, he has 5 top fives, 10 top 10s, and Michigan is a track that he can do a rebound. He's made 12 starts there, posting 2 top 5s and 7 top 10s with an average finish of 12.6. Now, of course, Allgaier looks to be poised to set his sights on the title as he has that series points lead, a little bit more bragging rights going into this race. But in 6 starts at Michigan, he's posted 1 top 5, 3 top 10s, and his average finish at Michigan is 9.7. So it's doable for either one of those drivers. But I have every confidence in the world that these two drivers are going to give it everything they can to be on top at the end of this race.
Yeah, they're teammates, and they're working together, but each one of them wants to be the one on top of the other one.
Exactly. And they're both smart racers. They're not new rookies. They're veteran, seasoned drivers that know how to play out the strategy of these races. Again, that Irish Hills 250 is this Saturday, June the 17th. At 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Now, I know we're going to have to do a quick review here of the Camping World Truck Series. They are racing later that night in the Camping World Truck Series. They will be racing, let me pull it back up here, I just had it. They will be racing the Driving for Lineman 200 at Gateway Motorsports Park on Saturday, June the 17th. That race starts at around 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Coverage will be, again, on Fox Sports 1, along with MRN and Sirius XM NASCAR Radio. So this is going to be a big deal. What's cool about this is it's another a back-to-back standalone race for this Camping World Truck Series, Jay. And I think we see some great things happen when these guys get a chance to be in the spotlight on their own. in this series. Last week we saw Christopher Bell come home with a win at Texas Motor Speedway, and he is the defending winner at this race from last year, and he'll be racing again at this race this week. So something to keep your eye on here. But here's the thing. In the last three Camping World Truck Series races at Gateway Motorsports Park, there's been three different winners. Darrell Wallace Jr. in 14, Cole Custer in 15, and Christopher Bell in 16. It'll be interesting to see if he can go back-to-back, not just at Gateway Motorsports Park, but the fact that he won at Texas Motor Speedway and has a chance to make it two in a row.
Yeah, as you said, he's the only one that has a chance to do that. And let me tell you, from what I've seen, unfortunately only watching it, Gateway is one of those tracks that's on my bucket list that I haven't attended. That looks like such an awesome facility. They put on such great races. I'm happy to see them coming back to this track now. But
yeah,
there's several going to be first-timers at Gateway, with nine Sunoco Rookie of the Year contenders making their track debut at Gateway Motorsports Park in the Camping World Series driving for Lineman 200. And that'll include Chase Briscoe, Wendell Chavez, Austin Cindric, Cody Coughlin, Grant Enfinger, Stuart Friesen, Noah Gregson, Kaz Grala, and Justin Haley. Ross Chastain, Kevin Donahue, Kyle Donahue, Austin Hill, Bryce Napier, and Todd Peck are also making their track debut at Gateway in the Camping World Truck Series. And as I mentioned earlier,
Yeah, I love seeing Ross Chastain in the Camping World Truck Series. I'm so happy he's doing that this year.
Yeah, well, and I was impressed with the weekend he did the triple. I believe that was at Dover, doing the triple where he got a cup start as well. NASCAR Next Driver Todd Gillen making his second career NASCAR Camping World Truck Series start. He'll be running for the Kyle Busch Motorsports in the number 51. He finished 20th in his debut at Dover earlier this year. He's another one that, you know, we've talked about his time's coming, and so he's getting his feet wet now with Kyle Busch Motorsports with, I think, seven starts throughout the year, so this will be his second one. He'll be one to watch, I think, at Gateway on Saturday night.
Yeah, I think so, too. What a lot of people don't know is this is a big jump for those drivers that are coming into this series from and I talked a little bit about this earlier, from the Can-Am Pro Series, because they don't do a lot of pit stops in the K&N Pro Series. They do a few more pit stops in the ARCA Racing Series, so those drivers have a little bit of a leg up when they're making that transition into the Cup Series. It's a big deal and a big transition for these drivers that are coming up from K&N, because they've got to learn how to come in and out of pit road to make their pit stops. And it's not something that they're accustomed to doing, and it's a big learning curve for them when they come up into this series. So if you see some of these drivers kind of, you know, you mentioned he finished 20th at Dover, you know, you got to keep in mind the learning curve that these guys are under coming in from that K&N Pro Series, and that's one of the biggest learning curves that they have. Plus the fact that they're racing on different tires, and that's true whether they're racing in the ARCA Series or the Can-Am Pro Series, they've got to make the adjustment to the different tires that are run in NASCAR's top three. So just something to be aware of with some of these guys coming up into the truck series.
Those are all very good points.
Okay.
Yeah. As I say, the Can-Am do the halfway stop. I mean, they pit, but it's not under pressure. I think it's a 10-minute clock. They don't have to be
right
in and out and hit their mark perfectly, because they got a 10-minute window to make that pit stop.
Exactly. So even though, don't be discouraged by that 20th place finish. I think that's a great finish for a driver who has to go through this big adjustment that they go through when they're coming up from K&M Pro Series. Now, last year, John Hunter Nemechek did a great job of racing in the Canon in the Camping World Truck Series. A lot of people expected him to be a championship contender this year, and it's really been an up and down year for him in this season. So he's got a big chance here at Gateway with it being a standalone race, and he wants to make the most of it. Is the top eight that go into the playoffs? Nemechek right now is eighth in the series point standings. He has two top five finishes so far this season, very much unlike what he did last year. In three career starts at Gateway, Nemechek has two top six finishes and has never finished outside the top 15. He's led 53 laps at Gateway, and his average finish at that track is 8.3. So you can see why he sees Gateway as an opportunity to make some gains toward getting into that top eight. He's going to need more consistency, though, to stay there and to get up and stay in that top eight in the series point standings so that he can be a part of the playoffs this year.
That's one of those that, I mean, baffles me, you know, and I was disappointed with what he was doing last year, underfunded. I would have thought the year under his belt and the building they were doing, that he would have come out a lot stronger this year, and really hasn't. So I hope he does get it turned around there.
Another opportunity.
Oh, yeah. Like you said, it's a standalone event, and the stats he's got there might be one to seriously keep an eye on. Another one to keep an eye on, the road to victory through Gateway. In his second full-time season with the Camping World Truck Series, Thor Sport Racing driver Ben Rhodes off to a hot start. Already has more top five finishes this season than he has in each of the last two seasons, and we're only seven races into the year. The only thing he hasn't done yet is get that first win. He came close at Kansas Speedway when a piece of debris cut him through his engine and radiator ended his night while he was leading, handing the win to Kyle Busch. And so he's still looking for that win at Gateway, where he's had previous success. He's had one Camping World Truck Series start at Gateway last year. He won the 21 Means 21 pole and finished second. In seven races this year overall, he's got three top fives, four top tens, and has yet to finish outside the top 23. And even Kyle said it, you know, he was beat, that was his win. It just so happened to fall in Kyle's lap. He's going to victory lane sooner than later because he has just been on fire.
Yeah, he's had a great season this year, and I'm so happy to see that for Ben Rhodes. We saw him become a Can-Am East champion a few years back, and then he kind of took a different path coming into the NASCAR's top three. He signed on for 10 races in the Xfinity Series with JR Motorsports, traveled the circuit with them throughout the year, learned a great deal, and then signed up with Thor Sport Racing to race in the Camping World Truck Series full time. And I think those have been good moves for Ben Rhodes. And I totally agree with you. We're going to see a win from him before this season is over, I think. He's come so close so many times. And, you know, Gateway could be a good opportunity for him to get that first win under his belt. Now, Gateway Motorsports has had 16 races, 10 different pole winners, and 15 different race winners. The youngest pole winner was Cole Custer in 2014. He was 16 years, 4 months, and 22 days. The oldest pole winner, Mike Skinner, at 50 years, 2 months, and 4 days, and that was back in September of 2007. The youngest winner, Cole Custer, 17 years, 4 months, and 22 days. The oldest winner, Mike Skinner. It's a mirror image here. Mike Skinner did that in 2009 at 52 years, 2 months, and 15 days. How many races have been won from the pole? Just three. So that's something to be aware of as we go into this race this weekend. The last race that was won from the pole was actually in 2010, and that's when Kevin Harvick was racing. He was able to go from the pole to the finish in first place. The race record, a lot of people will remember Jack Sprague used to be a mainstay here in the Camping World Truck Series at 113.726 miles per hour. He did that back in 2000. And the qualifying record is, again, Cole Custer. So you can't count him out this weekend. At 136.426 miles per hour, he did that in 2014. And I do believe that Cole Custer is one of the drivers to watch this weekend out at Gateway.
When you're talking about, you know, the age there of young drivers, this year's GMS Racing driver, Sunoco Rookie of the Year, Justin Haley, just scored a career-best finish at Texas, where he finished sixth. His previous best career finish was seventh in the Lucas Oil 150 at Phoenix Raceway. He's really come on as of late with back-to-back top tens and three top tens in his last four races. Again, he has one career start at Gateway Motorsports Park, finishing 21st there last year. But I think with the experience he has now, he's ready to improve on that greatly and might be one of those battling top five, too, possibly for the win.
Yeah, and that career best finish that you mentioned of seventh at in the Lucas Oil 150 at Phoenix was actually in 2015. So that was a couple years ago. But Justin Haley is another Can-Am Pro Series champion. He won the championship last year. And, again, he's making an adjustment. He's done pretty good up to this point. And I think we're going to continue to see more and more strides from Justin Haley as he, too, is making those adjustments with the pit stops and the tires and everything in the Camping World Truck Series. Now, this is one of the more fun Sunoco Rookie of the Year battles. Following his top three finish at Texas Motor Speedway, Grant Enfinger from ThorSport Racing now has the lead in the rookie standings for the Camping World Truck Series. He jumped over Kaz Grala for that top spot, and he's gonna do everything he can to put a gap between them. He has a strong rookie season so far, netting two top three finishes and four top tens in just seven races. So Grant Enfinger is a champion, a former champion in the ARCA Racing Series, and now leads that rookie point standings. But it's a close battle when you consider that Chase Briscoe, last year's champion in the ARCA Racing Series, is negative four from Grant Enfinger. Kaz Grala, who had the point lead, is just 5 points back. And then a gap develops here between Grala and Noah Gregson, who had 16 points back, and then even a bigger gap with Austin Cindric with 37 points back from Grant Enfinger, who took over that series points lead. But those first three drivers, that's a pretty tight battle.
Yeah, and like you said, it's really interesting to watch. As a rookie, Kaz Grala already has a win, and Chase Briscoe really almost had a win last week at Texas. The Brad Keselowski Racing Driver and Rookie of the Year. Yeah, well, he was more than knocking on it last week. He got the runner-up finish at Texas in against Christopher Bell. He scored his second top three of 2017 and is yet to finish outside the top 25. Owner Brad Keselowski has had nothing but positive things to say about Chase Briscoe and his future racing in NASCAR. He's one of those guys where I look at and you say, wow, I wish I was that talented and as composed as he is at his age. You're talking about these young guys and how poised they are. Bragg goes on to say that Chase, to me, is one of those guys who has loads of natural talent and has the intangibles to take it to that next level, and foresees him as a future Cup, Monster Energy NASCAR Cup driver.
And you know, I mention this all the time. Chase Briscoe's backstory is really incredible, and he even said it last week. A couple of years ago, he was watching these races from his couch because he was sweeping the floors at Cunningham Motorsports in the ARCA Racing Series, and they gave him, he indicated he had an interest. They gave him a chance. He did. He came home with a top 10 finish, and then they put him in full time the following season, and he came home with the championship. It's just an amazing story from Chase Briscoe. And when I see what he's doing here in the Camping World Truck Series, it's just really, really impressive what Chase Briscoe has been able to do in such a quick amount of time.
That's right. He's one of those. There's a couple that we watch every week that, you know, like you mentioned, of making the adjustment to the pit stops, the bigger vehicle, the higher speeds, that they're improving each and every week. I mean, that's what you look for, is that they learn from it week in and week out. You know, so if even if they have that slow start to the season, by season's end, they're going to be right there. And Chase Briscoe is currently overall fourth in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series point standings, and as you mentioned, second in the Rookie of the Year standings.
Yes. We're going to see a lot of Chase Briscoe for years to come. Okay, we did talk about Christopher Bell being the defending race winner out here from Kyle Busch Motorsports. Last week, we saw him racing with Christopher Bell, and it was a really close race between those two drivers. Now, Bell's a native of Norman, Oklahoma. A lot of fans know that. He actually considers Texas Motor Speedway to be a home track. It's the one that's closest to where he lives. So that was pretty cool to see him come home with that victory. I'm sure he had a lot of family and friends at the track. He becomes the first multi-winner in the Camping World Truck Series this season. He has the two wins, five top fives and six top tens. He's led 332 laps through seven races this season, and he's second in the series point standings behind the defending series champion, Johnny Sauter. As we head into this race, the Driving for Lineman 200 at Gateway this weekend, Bell is really hoping he can make it back-to-back, and that's more than back-to-back with his Texas win, back-to-back races at wins at Gateway Motorsports Park. There's a lot to look forward to in this race this weekend to see if Christopher Bell can make that happen this weekend. Now, real quick, because I know we want to get into the Cup Series as well. The driver standings update, did we do that?
No, we had not covered that.
Okay, Johnny Sauter is at the top spot. Christopher Bell, like we just mentioned, has the second spot, followed by Matt Crafton. Those are the top three drivers. You got two veterans and not a rookie, but one of the younger drivers holding down spots 4 through 8. And remember, it's the top eight drivers that go into the playoffs are Chase Briscoe, Bryn Rhodes, Ryan Truex. He's having a great season. Grant Enfinger, Kaz Grala. You know, I'm really impressed. We've got a couple of veterans in there, but look at how many of the young guys they're in this top eight. There are three of those that are rookie contenders in that top eight as well. So that's pretty impressive.
Again, and that's one of the things that with the Truck Series is just an awesome mixture. You know, you were talking about earlier with Mike Skinner being an old driver, that had a pull and a win, and then Cole Custer. You know, the gap, the range was 16 to 52. And that's something I like to see is that wide range of competition.
Yes, yes. I like that too. Just a reminder again, that race starts at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturday night, June the 17th. Fox Sports 1 and the radio stations here, MRN and SiriusXM, they will start their race coverage at 8 p.m. And, again, these stages, the first two stages are in 35-lap segments. So stage 1 will end on lap 35, stage 2 on lap 70, and the last stage will end on the last lap, which is 160. They'll be covering 200 miles over 160 laps. So definitely some fun racing there in the Camping World Truck Series for Gateway. Now, let's talk about the big race this weekend. The Fire Keepers Casino 400 is this Sunday. Now, that race should start around 3 p.m. Eastern time. Again, Fox Sports 1 has the television coverage starting at 2 p.m., along with MRN and Sirius XM NASCAR Radio offering radio coverage. They'll have 200 laps over 400 miles, and the first two segments are in 60-lap breakoffs. So stage one ends on lap 60, stage two on lap 120, and the last stage will end on the last lap, 200. So how cool was it to see Ryan Blaney finally get that breakthrough win last week?
Completely awesome. I words can't even describe it, you know, and I'm not the oldest race fan there, but when they talk about the history of the Wood Brothers and the way he did that, he had to pass Kyle, and Kyle did not make that easy, and then hold off Kevin Harvick.
No.
I mean, that's you're taking on two of the series best right there, and he did it phenomenally. I mean, that was just, it was unbelievable.
Let me tell you, Ryan Blaney is a cool cucumber when it comes. The pressure does not seem to affect him all that much. I think it was fantastic to see him get that win. And I can, you know, all these drivers talk about their chance of getting a race win by passing drivers like Kyle Busch and Kevin Harvick. And for Ryan Blaney to do what he did last weekend, I know he had to be absolutely thrilled with that victory at Pocono last weekend. He's just 23 years, 5 months, and 11 days. Blaney becomes the youngest first-time winner since Trevor Bayh won the 2011 Daytona 500. Bayh at that time was just 20 years and 1 day. So it was real close to his birthday, but now he becomes the youngest first-time winner. I'm trying to figure out how that works, actually, with the numbers that they have here. Bayh's victory in the Great American Race was the last triumph for the Wood Brothers, which boasts 99 overall wins, but a really cool deal for Ryan Blaney. He has three top fives. He has five top tens, and he owns 8 playoff points via his victory and 3 stage wins as well. I'm sorry, were you going to say something there, Jay?
I was going to say one other thing, tying it to the history of the Wood Brothers, which, again, the last one being Trevor Bayh, also driving for the Wood Brothers. They weren't driving full time, but if fans were watching, talking about him not having his radio and going back to the old school style of communicating with the crew by tapping on the door if he was tight and tapping on the roof if he was loose, because he couldn't communicate with his crew. And again, if you're a longtime race fan, that's just unbelievably so cool with that team. To see something like that, you know, you don't want to see anything like that happen, because it makes it harder on them. But to pull through it and use those old school techniques was, I just found extremely thrilling to see that and to see him come out with that win.
Absolutely, absolutely, and that was impressive. Blaney now joins Kyle Larson as the second alumnus from the NASCAR Next program. We talked about that a little bit earlier, to win a race in the Cup Series. Overall, 13 NASCAR Next drivers have made an appearance in the Cup Series, and Blaney is going to go for his second straight win this weekend at Michigan International Speedway. He made his first Cup Series start at the 2 mile over and oval in 2015, recording a track career best fourth place finish there last August. That's impressive. And coming off of a win and going back to where he had his first start, I think that's really impressive. The Cup Series has had 3 first-time winners in 5 races, including Ricky Stenhouse Jr. at Talladega, Austin Dillon in Charlotte, Ryan Blaney at Pocono. For the first time since 2007, when Casey Mears won at Charlotte, Martin Truex won at Dover, and Juan Pablo Montoya won at Sonoma. So that's kind of a cool stat, too, to see so many first-time winners in the Camping World Trucks, I'm sorry, in the Monster Energy Cup Series is really a very cool thing to see. And I think Kevin Harvick said it a few weeks ago. He feels that the future of the Cup Series in NASCAR is in really good hands with these young guys that are coming up through the ranks here.
Yeah, clearly he has been endorsing these guys at all levels that are coming up that we talk about in the K&N Pro Series, the Truck Series, and the Xfinity. Another one that, talking about that, might not even end. You got the Michigan man himself running his home track, Eric Jones,
yep,
coming home to Michigan after logging career best finish of third at Pocono, his first career top five showing in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. Led a personal high 20 laps. He was born in Byron, Michigan. Trails Daniel Suarez for first in the Sunoco Rookie of the Year standings by 8 points. And that'll be a close battle, I think, all year. He's hoping to close that gap. He's got one start in Michigan in both the Xfinity and Camping World Truck Series. He finished third in 2015 truck race and fourth in last year's Xfinity race at Michigan International Speedway.
Absolutely. We've been following Eric Jones for a long time through his camp. He's raced ARCA Racing, the K&N Pro Series, and a lot of people remember Eric Jones got his ride with Kyle Busch Motorsports when he beat him in the big race snowball derby that takes place every December out at Five Flag Speedways. He really caught Kyle Busch's attention when he beat him in that race, and it didn't take Kyle Busch very long to sign on Eric Jones to his team after that happened. And it's really great to see Eric Jones having this kind of success so quickly in the camping. I keep saying Camping World Truck Series. I mean in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. And it's not just Eric Jones, as we've been talking about all night. There's a number of new drivers that are doing it very, very well. And I was impressed with Eric Jones' finish last week at Texas. Very, very cool to see this happening.
When Kyle Busch and Ryan Blaney were trying to pass Kyle and they were blocking each other, and that Jones was there in third, he said he wasn't close enough, because if they'd have both slipped up at all, Eric Jones was there to make that pass.
Yep, he was in the catbird seat for sure. There's another hometown guy racing this weekend.
That's right, you got homecoming for Brad Keselowski, who's still looking for his first Michigan win. And I'm sure he'd love nothing more than win in his home state. He's unfortunately never visited Victory Lane there, but it'd make him the ninth active driver to win in his home state. Kyle Larson did it earlier this year out in California. Kevin Harvick's done it in California. Kyle Busch has done it in Nevada. Jimmy Johnson's done it in California. Denny Hamlin's done it in Virginia. Ryan Newman got his in Indianapolis. Austin Dillon, that we talked about, just got his in Carolina at Charlotte. And Eric Almirola, when he won in Daytona, got his in Florida. So Brad says this is a weekend that circled every year on his calendar, and one where they've had a lot of success but haven't been able to break through for that first win. Feels like this season they're having the year and a great opportunity for checking that off to their list. He's got 15 starts at Michigan, claiming 5 top 5s, 10 top 10s, and a 12.3 average finish. And he holds a streak of 6 straight top 10 finishes at his home track. He's currently sits 5th in the Monster Energy Cup points standings, 130 markers below leader Martin Truex, and he's 3rd in the series with 12 playoff wins from his 2 victories and 2 stage wins.
Yeah. Every year I say this, it'd be cool. Actually, I would like to see either Eric Jones or Brad Keselowski win this race. And we haven't talked about race winners, so we'll get to that before we close out the show. But with these guys being hometown guys, I think that would be very cool to see either one of them.
It's always great to see the emotion they have when it's, you know, it's where they consider a hometown track. They, like you said, for Christopher Bell at Texas, their friends and family that are there because it's the closest track to them. So it's always an emotional thing, like you said, to see them win at a track like that.
Absolutely. Now, a driver that they may have to look out for, though, this weekend in the Wolverine State, I'm having a little tongue problem here tonight. Joey Logano is the only driver to win the pole award with a lap of more than 200 miles per hour. In fact, he was at 201.698. He did that at Michigan. And that's a track where he's had a lot of success throughout his career. In 16 starts at Michigan, Logano has 2 wins, 4 top 5s, and 11 top 10s. His average finish at Michigan is 12.6. He's earned a top 10 showing in his last 8 races at the 2-mile track. And actually, he's the defending winner this weekend. So Joey Logano would love to make this a back-to-back victory at Michigan.
And he's one of those that I think needs it. His win that he had earlier in the year was an encumbered win and doesn't count as a guaranteed spot
into
the championship, into the playoffs. And he's currently 13th.
Yep.
Hold on, 11th in points. But with the winners that we've had, they're outside the top 20, and these new winners, they're all, because Kenseth is on the outside right now. Yep. If another first-time winner for the season wins, even though he's inside that top 16, winners get first slot. He's going to get bumped out, and he's at 11th in points, but could get bumped out by a new first-time winner.
Yeah. Definitely something to keep your eye on. Now, the Cup Series starts with 16 drivers at the beginning of the playoffs. That's their Sweet 16. And it is going to be interesting to see if Logano can get a win before the regular season's end. That would make his life so much easier if he has a win under his belt and doesn't rely on the points. Because that's a little more nerve-wracking.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he's sweating it now. You wouldn't have thought that at the beginning of the year when he got that win, even when it became encumbered. You would have thought that. They've fallen off a little bit, so hopefully they can turn it around again this weekend at Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one that showed that's how to do it was last year. Kyle Larson is the one that kind of kicked off NASCAR's youth movement into full gear last August when he led 41 laps and held off fellow young guns Chase Elliott to win the Pure Michigan 400 at Michigan International Speedway, earning his first career Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series victory, and that qualified him for the playoffs. So he'll go for his second consecutive win there at the 2 mile track and Sunday's Firekeepers Casino 400. In last year's June Michigan race, he was third. So the number 42 driver will also attempt to regain the points lead from Martin Truex, who he lost and is now down by one single point. For the season, Kyle Larson has one win, five top fives, nine top tens, and an average finish of 8.4. And he's got three stage wins and eight playoff points so far.
Yeah, I definitely think these playoff points are going to make a difference for these drivers this season. And I think that's a really good thing. But keep your eye on these points and the drivers that are getting more stage points than anybody else, because trust me, at the end of this season, the end of the regular season, those stage points are going to make a difference. Now, there's a number of Cup Series drivers, though, that are still looking to celebrate in victory lane. They haven't been there yet this season. 10 drivers have already won in the Cup Series, and this could be the year that a driver must win in order to make the playoffs. Many of NASCAR's established stars are searching for wins, and that includes Kyle Busch, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Kevin Harvick, Denny Hamlin, Matt Kenseth, Casey Kane, Jamie McMurray. That's several drivers that when you hear that list, it's hard to believe they don't have a win under their belt yet, but they don't. Now, even winless drivers like Chase Elliott, Eric Jones, and Daniel Suarez, they're all, from week in and week out, a threat to go to victory lane each year. They're up there hustling, and I don't expect it to be any different this weekend when they're racing out at Michigan International Speedway.
Those first four you mentioned, Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, Denny Hamlin, and Matt Kenseth, yeah, you almost think they've got to be a guaranteed to get a win in the next few races. But like you said, six more, and we fill up those top 16 with wins only. I think the record, I don't have the stat, but I believe the record is 13, and that is the most that we've had under this new playoff system. So three have made it in on points, and that's the highest. I think this could be the year where that gets pushed a little higher.
Yep, I think you're right. I think it's been very competitive in this Cup Series this year. Plus, you've got a lot of these stars that are perennial success stories that don't have a win yet this season. So that kind of shakes things up here a little bit.
And you talk about, we got two road courses yet, and those always can throw, you know, you got the likes of A.J. Allmendinger, Michael McDowell, some of the road course people that, you know, Clint Boyer, he wasn't on this list. Now that I think about that, I can't believe he's not on that list. Clint Boyer could be one, and he's been close on a lot of tracks, but come a road course time, Sonoma coming in a couple weeks, Clint Boyer could be one to throw a monkey wrench into things.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. He's a good driver. Now, I'm sorry, I was doing a little multitasking here. Did we talk about Suarez trying to get his first win?
No, I can cover that. He's looking to extend his Rookie of the Year lead and his first National Series win. He shot past the 2015 Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series champion and teammate Kyle Busch. I'm sorry, this was last year's Xfinity race where he got his first Xfinity win, passing Kyle Busch. and became the first Mexican-born driver to win a National Series race. So for him on the Cup side, looks like a good place to get his first Cup win as well. And he currently leads the Sunoco Rookie of the Year standings by just 8 points over Eric Jones, with an average 9.8 finish over his last four starts and a career-best sixth-place showing 2 weeks ago at Dover.
Yeah, that's pretty fantastic. Another driver we followed through the ranks here. And Daniel Suarez is such a student of this sport, and I've seen him learn and learn and learn from Kyle Busch and his association with Kyle Busch Motorsports. I do think it's going to be a fun matchup there with that rookie point standings in the Cup Series. Now, I mentioned earlier, if you're out near one of these racetracks, Michigan International Speedway or at Gateway, get yourself out there to the track. And if you enjoy camping, you can also watch the Michigan Parade Lap through miscamping.com if you can't get to the track. Now, for the first time in NASCAR history, the driver parade lap will make its way through the track's infield campground as part of the pre-race festivities on Father's Day. Fans can catch the Michigan Parade Lap through the infield campground at miscamping.com. Definitely something worthwhile to keep your eye on. That is something very unique that they do out there at Michigan International Speedway that makes it so much fun for the fans that are at the track. So trust me, you're not going to regret it if you get out there and take part in the festivities at Michigan this weekend. Okay,
that was a really cool thing to
overtime.
See. I saw. Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say, I saw where the Michigan announced that, and that's one of those of, you know, they're trying to do what they can for the fans and directing the driver parade through the infield like that, through the campground. I mean, whoever thought of that gets a double thumbs up, because that's just brilliant.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I like the hauler parades that they do at some of these tracks as well. But yeah, that sounds really cool that they're doing that. Now, very quickly, I want to get into some of the news because we're already over time. Are you okay if we go a little bit further here, Jay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, now BK Racing's team owner, Ron Devine, announced today that Ryan Sieg is going to be, he actually did this yesterday, is going to be behind the wheel of the number 23 car this weekend at Michigan. He made his Cup Series debut with BK Racing earlier this month at Dover, and he finished 26th at that race. Now, Randy Cox is moving from the number 83 team to take over the crew chiefing duties for that number 23 team with Ryan Sieg this weekend. Doug George is the crew chief now for the number 83. So that was kind of a big announcement coming out of BK Racing for the races this weekend at Michigan International Speedway. So pretty cool to see that happening there.
Yeah, we talked about Ryan Sieg getting his first start. Very happy to see that. I'm not sure what's happening with that team with Grigalding, but I definitely like to see that these teams, you know, I don't want to say that BK has been considered a start and park team, but it's obviously not one of the top-tier teams, but they're making changes and trying to improve and doing what they can to become a contending team. So I really do like that.
Mm-hmm. That is very cool. More big news that came out this week. Sam Hornish Jr. is back. He's going to race for Team Penske in some select Xfinity Series races this season. So that's going to be fun to see him coming back and racing with Joe Gibbs Racing again. He'll be in the number 22 car, the discount tire car, I believe. And again, it's going to be fun to see what he does in that car. Sam Hornish can do very well. And I think of the drivers that made that adjustment between open wheel and NASCAR, he's been one of the more successful drivers.
Without a doubt, I was upset to see when he lost his Cup ride, and he got that opportunity in the Xfinity, and then I'm not in these team meetings or whatever, but when he kind of got pushed out and was only doing very limited select starts, that was one of those that kind of broke my heart, because he has showed that he's capable of running with these guys.
Absolutely, and. Again, it's going to be fun to watch these races this weekend out there at Michigan and Gateway as you gear up for your big race weekend. More news coming out of the Xfinity Series. GMS Racing announced this week that Mike Ford is now their Xfinity Series competition director. So they're making some changes out there at GMS Racing as well.
And with that one, I just got to say the competition better look out, because he's one of the best in the business, and bringing him in, that could be what elevates them to that next level.
And they've already been very impressive with what they've been able to do in such a short time. Johnny Sauter races with GMS Racing now, and he was a great addition to that organization this year. So really cool to see that happening for them. Now, Mike Ford, as far as his comments after the announcement, he said, we're very excited. Actually, this is from Mike Beam. He's a principal at GMS Racing. He's the general manager there. He said they're very excited to have Mike Ford here at GMS Racing. And he continues, Mike is, they understand completely that Mike is bringing a lot of knowledge and experience to the Xfinity Series program. And they want to continue to elevate that program and feel like Mike Ford is the guy that's going to be able to help them accomplish that. So definitely something for fans to keep their eye on with Mike Ford now a part of that GMS Racing team. Now he says, I'm really excited about joining GMS Racing. This is our first full-time season in the Xfinity Series, so there's a lot of room to grow the program, and he's looking definitely looking forward to working with the Xfinity Series teams and their drivers. So that's some of the biggest news. Is there any other news you want to make sure that we mention before we close out the show here tonight?
No, I think we got it all covered.
Okay. So let's go back to, I haven't seen an article from you lately. I'm wondering if you've got one in the works.
The Dodge's return options. Been really busy at work, and we got our big race here at the dirt track, so we'll try to get that finished up into you by Sunday.
Okay. So keep your eyes peeled for another article here from MJ Huseman on Fan for Racing Radio. He usually has some great commentaries, and I'm sure all of our listeners will enjoy reading his next post when it comes out, hopefully early next week. All right. With that, I think we're going to close out our show. I went a little bit over time here, and I apologize for that, but we wanted to make sure that we did include some of the hotter stories that are coming out of NASCAR here the last few days. So thanks for listening to all of our listeners, And we will be back here at Blog Talk Radio for Fan for Racing NASCAR and Race Talk. That's our review of the weekend of racing. And I'm sad that I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought there, so I apologize for that. But I am really looking forward to the racing this weekend. I'm looking forward to talking about it on our show Monday night with Sal Segala when we do the NASCAR and Race Talk review. So that will be starting at 8:30 p.m. on Monday. And then, of course, Jay and I will be back here next Thursday to review the upcoming races for next weekend. And definitely looking forward to that as well. Jay, do you want to give your social media handles here for race fans to follow you?
All right. You can follow me on Facebook with my name, Michael Hoosman, or on Twitter and Instagram at MoparMJ8.
Okay, and definitely give us a follow at Fan for Racing site on Facebook. I'm sorry, on Twitter. We are Fan for Racing Blog and Radio on Facebook, and you can also find us under that name at Google Plus, and we're also on Flipboard and Dig as well as StumbleUpon. We're on a lot of different social media outlets. So fans can follow along with our articles at fanforracing.com. So we're going to call that a wrap, MJ, and I hope you enjoy the race weekend this weekend, and we'll talk to you again on the other side.
All right, looking forward to it.
Okay, take care now. Good night.